the April 2002 impact report. It says essentially that a great majority of new jobs requires qualifications that the industrial worker does not possess and is poorly equipped to acquire. And I wonder, how effective has the state been in diversifying toward a more technology-based economy up till now?
Yes. First of all, David, the quote that you referenced is actually from Peter Drucker, the well-known business management consultant, and his view there is that that regions which are trying to develop an economy that is diversifying beyond manufacturing need to have skill, a different and higher skilled workforce, at least in terms of education and some things that the manufacturing workforce may not necessarily have. I think Indiana has been somewhat slow about developing those skills, and they. Although I'd have to say it's difficult to determine how you address that issue, because on the one hand, developing a workforce that is skilled for jobs which you don't have in your state doesn't do a whole lot of good, because those folks then go to places where those jobs exist. So there is a chicken and egg aspect to this. It requires both the development of the job market, the jobs in the region, as well as the development of the workforce at the same time.
What are the impacts then of Indiana's potential billion-dollar budget deficit in diversifying the economy?
I think that the impact is that it certainly the first point is that it certainly makes it clear that there is a need to do this. The discussion of diversifying the economy has been carried on for the last several 2 or 3 years, and I'm not sure that a lot has been done. And so this certainly makes the argument more pointed. There are a number of folks who are saying that a good percentage of these jobs that have been lost, Indiana's lost more jobs than any other state during this last 2 year period, that a number of these jobs will not return. So there is certainly a point here where the state needs to consider how to address the situation and how to do so in an efficient way, because the revenues aren't there to immediately invest.
There has been a huge drop in venture capital dollars over the past 24 months in Indiana. What has that meant to moving the state economy from manufacturing to technology, particularly given that before that 24-month period, Indiana was moving in a positive direction?
I think that's one that I don't think we can tell yet. Indiana did drop farther than the rest of the nation in terms of the average across the U.S. in the drop between calendar year 2000 and 2001 in venture capital financings was about a 65% drop. Indiana dropped almost 85%. But the fluctuations in venture capital financings are so great from state to state and from one period to the next that I think we have to wait till the next year to really know whether or not we'll respond. I would say that it's beyond venture capital, though. Your point is, how do you find the capital for these new, more diversified entrepreneurial kinds of activities? And it certainly is difficult to do that in a state which doesn't have that tradition and may not have those capital markets.
And I guess it's also been then difficult to find boosters willing to make technological investment in Indiana.
It really is. There are some, and I wouldn't want to minimize those who have really set out to take initiative and an entrepreneurial direction in the state, but we certainly are not experiencing as much of that as some of our surrounding states, and not as much as the technology leaders across the U.S.
What about research and development funding? How's that been?
R&D funding dropped this last the last period that we have on record. That data comes from the National Science Foundation. I would have to say that we are not doing very much either from the private side or from the public side in trying to address that, and that's something that a number of technology leaders in the state have asked state government to increase funding for a fund called the 21st Century Fund here in Indiana, which funds venture capital and new initiatives, and we certainly need to do that.
Earlier, you brought up the issue of education. Reports from the U.S. Census Bureau indicate that the number of college graduates, undergraduates in Indiana is growing about the same rate as across the nation. Is the state making progress on educational attainment?
The data would show that we are not making any progress relative to other states, but we certainly are making progress. In 1950, about 1 in 20 graduates in Indiana had, about 1 in 20 workers had a baccalaureate degree or greater, and today it's close to 1 in 5. So we've certainly increased the educational attainment in the state, but what we've done is we've, particularly over the last 20 years or so, we've only increased about as fast as the other states in the nation. And that's why we're still in the bottom 10%.
Has the economy been an issue?
Relative to educational attainment?
Yes.
It certainly has. The Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute did some work 2 years ago, where we looked at the relationship between occupation and educational attainment, and it's clear that, particularly in the past, in a manufacturing environment, that baccalaureate degrees and above were not required for the broadest groups in the workforce, and as a result, those states which tended to have higher levels of manufacturing, those states which tended to have more of the branch plants and not the headquarters of those manufacturing enterprises, were places that did not have as high educational attainment. And that's really what you see in Indiana.
Has the number of people receiving advanced degrees increased, given the fact that much of the technology that you might grow would come from people receiving advanced degrees? And if so, how easy has it been for them to find jobs in Indiana?
The advanced degree statistic is one which we have not spent a lot of time with. Indiana produces baccalaureate degrees and above at a rate that is higher than the average in the U.S. We're somewhere in the neighborhood of 12th in the nation in baccalaureate degrees, not quite as high in advanced degrees. But in the economy in the U.S., among the U.S. States, those advanced degrees tend to operate in that national labor market much more so than in a regional or local labor market. As you get higher in educational attainment, the bidding and the marketability of that worker increases. And so for PhDs, you really are looking at essentially an international labor market. So all that says that Indiana really needs to have the jobs here, the businesses located here, requiring those advanced degrees in order to keep those folks here in Indiana.
What can the state do, given its budget situation, in the next year or two to stimulate change to a technology economy?
There are a number of initiatives that are started here in Indiana. One of them is that 21st Century Fund that I mentioned earlier, which needs the funding to be completed. Another is an initiative called the Central Indiana Life Sciences Initiative, where the universities and some corporations, notably Eli Lilly and Company here in Indiana, are working to develop that nexus between basic research in the life sciences, more applied research in the commercial community, and new business startups to really create a place where biolife sciences can really grow rapidly. And that is an initiative which also could use additional funding. I think that one of the things that the state needs to consider is how to fund the advanced research that universities are working on and the commercialization that universities are working on to help that feed into the local economy.
Are new and creative partnerships between government and private industry needed?
I think they certainly are. It's difficult to do that kind of thing when there is not much in the way of public funding available. But it requires more than just funding. It requires vision and imagination and really the will to push those initiatives forward. And I think both those are needed.